Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, is the system of the ulama of the past over the generations that when difficulties would befall the ummah or even individuals or families, amongst the deeds that they would carry out would be to speak about our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you take one example of Qasida Burda, it was done because of difficulty, paralysis that the author Allama Busairi rahimahumullah had gone through, and it was through the barakah of that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reinstated his health. And like that we will find many kitabs that had been written in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of halat, conditions that prevailed on the earth in those countries, in those places at that particular time. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through the barakah of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved those people of those difficulties. So today we sit here, difficulties that the ummah is going through, mankind is going through. Let us try and remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had sent us many great ni'mats. We discussed on Jum'ah, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that if you count one ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, you will not be able to appreciate it, you will not be able to accomplish anything, you will not be able to come to any conclusion with regards to that one ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Imam Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi has stated that that one ni'mat of Allah ta'ala amongst them is the ni'mat of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadi Ayad rahmatullah alayhi, when he describes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he speaks about the purity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insofar as the purity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's physical body is concerned, insofar as the heart and the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so pure. Malik ibn Sinan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the father of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured on the battlefield, on the battle of Uhud, Malik ibn Sinan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was right next to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw this blood oozing from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Malik ibn Sinan decided to suck that blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After he sucked that blood, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that spit it out, throw it out. Malik ibn Sinan swallowed the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam then remarked that the fire of Jahannam will not touch that person in whom my blood is. Now, to us these things may seem to be very strange, but it is not strange at all. Our blood is impure. This is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That the blood of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so pak, so pure. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha takes it one step further. She says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go out and relieve himself, there were many of those occasions that I would go out immediately after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the very same place that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go. But lo and behold, I would not find any waste matter. It was not there. So one day I said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I find this very strange. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to her that, oh Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that do you not know that the waste matter of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam is also pak, and the earth will take it in because it is the waste matter of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam. In one narration she said that normally waste matter will have a nasty stench, a nasty smell, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's waste matter will have a fragrant smell. So such was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in every aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had kept him pure. The way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that was also pure. And in every matter, when we look at the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what a heart Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, that we try to fathom and we try to understand this heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was mentioned many times here that لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was prepared to give his life because people would not accept Iman and they would not accept Islam. And who were those people that he was prepared to give his life for? Those that wanted to take his life. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart. We look at the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyiduna Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was that sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that unfortunately had committed zina, he had committed adultery. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I committed adultery. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns away from him. He comes to the other side and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I committed adultery. In one riwayat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam asked him, are you in your mind? Now think about if somebody tells us what somebody else did, how we would jump to our phones and how we would want to send the message out that such and such a person has committed such and such a sin or such and such a crime. But here is Allah's Nabi hearing it first hand from the person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns away from him to the extent that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had to convey the message of Allah, and he conveyed the message of Allah with compassion. He had to uphold the law of Allah ta'ala. He upheld the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with compassion. That now four times Sayyiduna Ma'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu had confessed. He had acknowledged that he had committed the crime. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no option but to have him stoned. And whilst he was being stoned, somebody curses Sayyiduna Ma'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops the person. And he says that if his tawbah had to be divided amongst the people of Medina, it will exceed 70 times more than the total inhabitants of Medina. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates one hadith that there was one person, for whatever reason, he was known, he was nicknamed as Himar, as donkey. And this person was a person that would sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam laugh also. That was the balance. The balance in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life cannot be fathomed by an ordinary human being. That although he was with that great intelligence that Allah had given him, yet we will find the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the fact that he was so close to Allah Ta'ala, but yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's ummah was so close to him. And in every aspect we will see that there was an absolute balance in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nonetheless, this person used to come and he used to make jokes with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to smile. However, this Abdullah had a habit. He was an alcoholic. He used to take to alcohol and he used to get caught also. And he used to be brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the rule was that he used to be lashed. So one day, somebody began to say something about him. They began to curse Abdullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, stop. Stop in your tracks. Here is a person that may have a habit. He may have an addiction. But on the other hand, I do not know Abdullah to be a person but one who loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this is the evidence, this is the testimony of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, we sit to hear the seerah, we sit to hear the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us use it as the mirror image and look at my heart, look at myself, that if I see somebody that is an addict, what would I think about that person? How would I react about that person? The issue is so small, how big I would make it. So this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, insofar as the purity of the heart. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting with Sahaba, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to Sahaba, that do not come and tell me ill about my companions. Because when I see them, I want to see them with a clean heart. Now again, we want to hear the ill and the evils about everybody else. But here is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he doesn't want to hear ill about anyone, because when I see them, I want to see them with a clean heart. So such was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had chosen him. Allah ta'ala had put an abundance of barakah in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you go to the very early history, the early biography of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was in the care of Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib one day was making tawaf of Baytullah. And as he is making tawaf of Baytullah, he is saying some poetry, Rudda ilayya rakibi Muhammada, Ya Rabbi ruddahu, Ya Rabbi ruddahu wastani indi yada. He is saying and making this dua that, O Allah, return my rider, my Muhammad, and O Allah, do it in a way that will be pleasing to me, in a way that I will be happy, and help me in this way. And he is making tawaf of Baytullah, and this is the only thing that he is saying. So somebody noticed Abdul Muttalib saying these very strange words. So after he had completed his tawaf, then somebody asked about Abdul Muttalib, what is he saying and why is he saying this? So he was explained that he has this grandson of his, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And whenever Abdul Muttalib has a task that he is unable to accomplish, he would send this young grandson of his, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to accomplish that task. And on this particular occasion, he had lost some of his camels. And he sent this youngster, his grandson, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in search of those camels. But he is taking too long to come back. And now Abdul Muttalib is becoming restless. So that is why he decided to make tawaf of Baytullah, and that is why he is making this dua, Allah Ta'ala give us all the opportunities to once again go to the Haramain Sharifain, with iman, with adab and ihtiram and respect of the place. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, once we are there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala utilizes our time in the full ibadat and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was there in the haram, so he's making this tawaf now and he's making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence, lo and behold, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes holding the reins of a few camels. When he sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him that, oh my grandson, this separation of these few moments has been too painful for me. I cannot bear the separation and hence I will never allow you to separate from me once again. But what we understand from this is that Abdul Muttalib had known there was no Quran at that time. There was no Islam, there was no Hadith at that time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very young. But he had understood that matters will get solved if it is placed in the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when we look at the Quran Sharif, what is Allah Ta'ala telling us? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. The same principle that put your hand, put your matters, your affairs in the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your dunya is done, your akhirat is done. If you love Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and you are sincere in that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the simple solution to that is, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of Allah ta'ala will come. When the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, all the matters are resolved and all the matters are solved. Challenges that we will have will carry on. And those challenges with the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be pleasurable. Those challenges will become bearable because we will understand that this is from Allah and this is the test from Allah Ta'ala. This is the world, a world in which Allah Ta'ala is going to test us. If we do not want any challenges, we do not want any test, then we will have to wait for Jannat. So this is that message that we get from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Hisham radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates, he was a young boy and his mother had taken him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his mubarak hand over the head of Abdullah ibn Hisham radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. How fortunate, a young boy of that time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing his hand over his head, and over and above that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. He made dua of barakah. Now, his grandson, his family is narrating that it became system in Madina Tayyibah that when the great Sahaba like Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be walking in the marketplace and they will see Abdullah ibn Hisham radiallahu ta'ala anhu doing a business deal, they will rush off there and they will ask him to give a partnership, a share. Give us also a share in your deal. Who's prepared to do that today? Yeah, if it's a loss, we'll give everybody the share. But when there's a profit, and Abdullah bin Hisham will give them. So they say about him, that Allah Ta'ala had given him so much of barakah, that in one day, sometimes in some certain days, a whole camel's load of profit will be sent to his house. A camel's load, ulama explain, is like a truck load of goods today. That is the profit that he would have accrued from just one day, and there one day wasn't 8 to 5. There one day was a very short couple of minutes, less than an hour. They would do their business, wrap it up, and go back to the masjid. And that was the profit that he would get. Why? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua of barakah. A person by the name of Urwa bin Abi Ja'ad, he was given a task by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him 1 dinar. 1 dinar is a gold coin. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and buy 1 sheep for me. So this sahabi, he went out, he purchased with that 1 dinar, he purchased 2 sheep. What he did, he used his discretion. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted only one. So he took the 1 sheep and he sold it. And now for 1 dinar. And now he came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the dinar and the sheep. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so happy, he made dua for barakah. It was said about him that if this man had to sell sand, he would profit from it. Like how we say, sometimes sand turns into gold, and on the other hand, sometimes gold turns into sand. So this is, even if he had to sell sand also, he would profit from that sand. That was the result of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and friends, this is that Nabi that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed us with. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. In every respect, in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers, we will never be able to appreciate our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's only Allah ta'ala's kindness that Allah ta'ala made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we need to do is we need to go back to this Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anything, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a way of life. If anything, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a purpose in life. Go out there into the world, those that do not have iman. They do not have any maqsad in life. They do not have purpose in life. They prepare to leave the earth and go into space. They prepare to spend millions and go to the moon on a holiday, on a vacation. There's absolutely no purpose. Allah Ta'ala has given us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in that we have a maqsad, we have a purpose. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes our goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes our objective. We know that we in this world for a period of time, which we will call life, but it is a journey. And it doesn't stagnate, it doesn't stop. The clock doesn't stop ticking. We are going towards that qabr. We are going towards akhirat. And our Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us in every aspect of our life, how to do, what to do, and when to do. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, that friends, whilst we're sitting here in the house of Allah ta'ala, let us make one niyat, that I would attempt to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in whatever way. There is no small sunnah. There is no small sunnah. Every sunnah is magnanimous in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But if you look at sunnah that are easily accomplishable, sunnah that are easy to be practiced, like it comes in the hadith, we did that in Shama'il-e-Kubra also, what we read in the weekends, that washing the hands before we eat and washing the hands after we eat. Just, that's the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith doesn't speak about sanitizing, it doesn't speak about using soap, it doesn't speak about using liquid, solids, nothing. Just washing the hands before we eat, washing the hands after we eat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us barakah in our rozi, in our sustenance. Hazrat Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahib rahimahumullah once in his bayan mentioned this. I heard this from our ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, atallahu baqa'a, that after Hazrat had mentioned this in the bayan, one person went and he started practicing upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That love that ignited in his heart for this particular sunnah, he started practicing. He was a man that had an abundance of qaraz, an abundance of debt. And after some days, he wrote to Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib that after practicing on the sunnah, my debts has been paid off. How Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did it, how Allah ta'ala made asbab from the unseen, all of that, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But bring this barakah, bring this sunnah in our lives, and inshallah we'll have that barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attaches to the sunnah. The other aspect, like we spoke about on Jumu'ah, is Salat ala Nabi, Durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us make it a habit, let us make it a habit to recite at least 100 salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day. It's very easy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is a famous one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or it comes in the hadith, wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi. That 100, it will finish before we even know what it is, it will be done. And in that we'll get the inscription on our forehead, Bara'atum minan nifaq wa bara'atum minan nar. Freedom from hypocrisy, freedom from the fire of Jahannam. In one riwayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will see to 100 of our needs. 70 of the akhirat, 30 of this world. And I'll conclude. I heard from our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ikram Ali, Rahimahumullah, our Shaykh al-Hadith, that whilst we were sitting in the Darul Hadith of Dabel, he began to speak about the ulama and the students of the past. And he said that in this very class, there was, in the time of Maulana Badr Alam, Rahimahumullah, he was a great person, he passed away in Madina Tayyibah. Hazrat Maulana Badr Alam Sahib was teaching Bukhari Sharif Hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when one student dozed off. That student that dozed off wasn't a normal student that would doze off. And somebody was going to get him up, give him a little nudge. And Hazrat Maulana Badr Alam Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, Usko chhor do, leave him. Leave him, let him sleep. But he also stopped the sabak. We can't stop the talk when everybody sleeps. He also stopped the sabak. And then the student got up and he looked directly into the eyes of Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana Badr Alam very, very calmly asked him, Aqa ne kya farmaya? What did the master say? Who's the master? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The student responded, Aqa ne aapko salam arz farmaya. That student said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed on salam to you. So we were very interested in knowing what was this about. Then Hazrat said, when I made tahqeeq, when I found out that the student, Hazrat himself, Maulana Badr Alam himself, but the student also used to read an abundance of durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So friends, let us try and make this change in our lives. Let us try and inculcate the sunnah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our ulama was so firm on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes in the biography of Maulana Qasim Nanotvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, that when the British wanted to apprehend him, they wanted to imprison him, Hazrat Maulana was advised by his friends that you rather go away into hiding. Go away, come out of society, go into some place where nobody will find you. Your life is in danger. And if you are taken, you are the guide to so many thousands of people, what will happen to the ummah? So Hazrat took the advice and he went, and he came back after 3 days. So they said, you back? He said, yeah. My Aqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went into the Ghare Thawr, when he went into the cave of Thawr, on the Hijrah, he only went for 3 days. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now look at, the life is in danger, but even then, my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant more to me than everything else. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to recite abundant salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever his fikr was, whatever his concerns were, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put that concern also into our hearts. And that one simple concern would be that how each and every person can gain Jannatul Firdaus, and each and every person will gain Najat in Akhirah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Let us make dua. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ahlu. فصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين O most merciful, kind and gracious Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, forgive our siblings, our spouses. Ya Allah, forgive our children, our family members. Ya Allah, forgive the whole ummah of our Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O most merciful Allah, grant us your love and your muhabbat. Grant us the love and muhabbat of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq, ya Allah, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Allah, our leader, O Allah, and to make Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam our hero, ya Allah, and to make Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that person, ya Allah, that we will try to follow in all the aspects of our lives, ya Allah. O most merciful and gracious Allah, O most merciful and gracious Allah, you become ours, ya Allah, you make us yours. Rabbana tawaffana muslimin walhiqna bishuhada'i wassalihin ghayra khazaya wala nadama wala maftunin. Wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.